the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Friends, one of the greatest truths that in life we must learn is that God does not need us. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. I know that's pronounced harsh right out of the beginning, right? But it's true. God is God. He is utterly perfect. He loves us. He loves you more than you even know. But he does not need us. Creation, the created world that includes you and me, adds nothing to what God already has or to his greatness. Our moral excellence does not add to God, and nor does our moral depravity take anything away from him. Now this is good news, because what this means is that God can simply love us without strings attached. He loves us and pours out his grace upon us, and he doesn't even need to do it. It doesn't benefit him. It's just a gift. Pure grace. And, get this, God wants to share his life with us. Although he doesn't need to, he doesn't need us. Reading from the prophet Isaiah, it says, God says, all you who are thirsty, come to the water. You who have no money, come, receive grain and eat. Come without pain, without cost. No strings attached. So you and I, as human beings, become easily caught up in efficient and calculating relationships with each other. You scratch my back, and you do me a favor, I'll try to return the favor in kind. We make some sort of contract, if you will. We try to live up to it. Or the opposite as well. You hurt me, I'll hurt you back. You insult me, I'm going to hold on that grudge. Eye for an eye, which is not a Christian concept, by the way. So, we can very, unfortunately, easily transfer this human, terrible way of thinking to our relationship with God. And that was in the wheels of our heart, right? So because God needs nothing, it's not an equal relationship. There's nothing that God gains from us. God simply desires to give gifts freely, without conditions, without strings attached. The way he is, God is gracious. God is love. He doesn't play games. He doesn't do anything that hurts. And this from God's side, as St. Paul tells us, nothing can separate us from this love, right? Not even death, he says, can separate us. And human relationships, we allow all sorts of things to separate and divide us, right? We break these little contracts we have each other, which is, by the way, the influence of the evil one. His word in Greek is diabolo. We get diabolical from that. It literally means to throw apart, right? To divide. That's what he does. That's what he wants. But not God. Not even sin. God's love is greater than your sin. And that's the point of the good news, the gospel. The point of his gracious forgiveness. Now, since we do have free will, is it possible that we can separate ourselves from his grace on our ends? And yes, that's called mortal sin. But the deliberate choice to reject the free gift of God's grace, to reject his love, he will not force you to love, because that would not be love. That would be some kind of puppet show or dog and pony show. It wouldn't be love. Love has to remain a choice. And in our freedom, we can choose to deny his gifts. We can choose to deny his love for us. But from God's side, love, nothing can separate us. If you and I desire to be reconciled, he will take us back every time. Every time. Think of the cross. Gracious. He did not stay buried in the grave. Jesus on the third day rose from the dead, showing us that God's love is more powerful than even the greatest sin, which was us, nearly into the cross. Let's turn to the gospel passage. When the disciples tell Jesus, there are too many people, we can't feed them all, send them away. Jesus says what? Give them some food yourselves. Well, when you and I are in the right relationship with God and his Brothers, this is free gift. It is literally his vital vineyard temple. So when we are in right relationship with God's grace, that means that you become conformed to the gift. You become a conduit, a channel of the grace to give to others what you have received yourself. And there's more. You will find that it is multiplied beyond your imagining. What happened at the end of the miracle? There were 12 worker baskets left. 12 is an important number. It's the number of the tribes of Israel. In other words, there was enough left to feed a nation. That's how gracious God is. He just gives more than we could possibly think to ask for. Remember what they said when they had such little? They said, well, what's this going to do? What did Jesus say? Bring it to me. Whatever you have, how little you think it is, go take it to him. He will multiply it beyond your imagination. Why? How? Because the gift that you are giving is not you. You have become a channel of the grace of God, the free gift of God's own life. You receive grace, now you give it away freely. And the more you give it away, the more you will receive. You will find that if you do it without strings attached, you will never run out. So read the lives of any of these saints, and you'll see these people are not passive. They give. And the more you accept his grace, the more you feel compelled to give. We call that practicing the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. If you don't know what those are, go Google. That's what God gave us to Google for. Just put that in a Catholic after it, and you will get a whole wonderful list of these things that you will feel impelled to go do. We cannot earn God's love. It's not a contract. It's not this or that. It doesn't work that way. But instead, open yourself. Simply to receive God's love. Be humble. And then you will want to give it away. The more grace you give away, the more it will multiply. Like a flame passed from candle to candle, it only gets brighter. It doesn't go dim. The more grace you give away, the more truly alive you will become. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.